election to congressional and state races, as well as ballot initiatives across the country. Democracy Now!'s Election Night special will feature interviews and perspectives that you won't hear anywhere else, including the voices of activists, analysts, grassroots leaders, discussing how the movements on the ground will go forward following this historic election, starting at 9 p.m. through midnight Eastern Time. And you can check your local station. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Special thanks to Julie Crosby.
And you're listening to WUSB Stony Brook. That's WUSB Stony Brook and WUSB.FM for archives and streaming information. It's just about 6 o'clock, and everyone knows what time that indicates. We will be enjoying a show after which that time occurs. Off the Wall is coming up next, people.
You know, we're not going to have those drones to beat much longer. Just pointing that out. As is tradition here on Off the Wall, every time a new presidential term begins, our theme music changes. Yeah, it's true. We don't make the rules. That's just how it happens. So, why aren't you there? Try it again. What happened? Did you turn yourself off?
Yeah, I have my own switch.
You have your own switch now. Why do you have a switch? I don't have a switch.
This is vintage Radio Shack.
Look at that.
Microphone.
On, off. Wow.
See that? This Radio Shack.
You have a Radio Shack mic.
Yeah.
Listeners, this is a miracle. You are listening to Kyle through the magic of Radio Shack, a defunct microphone from a defunct corporation.
With an on-off switch.
With an on-off switch. Don't that beat all?
No, it makes my day. I got my coffee here.
Thank you for making me a cup of coffee.
Yeah, cheers.
You know,
for a long night of coverage.
We're going to make that a regular part of the show where you make the coffee.
Yeah, I think we should. We'll wire it up so we can get some natural sound.
You've got an espresso machine.
As I was saying, the delights before us is a lot to prepare yourself for.
I'm sorry. I thought my mic was
on. No. Go right ahead.
Really good.
Please, after you. Of course, we're prepared as much as possible.
Well, I was talking about the drums.
Part of the changing of the song, right. It's like changing of the guard, you know.
In a way, except the guard is always filled with glass, if you notice that. So, ever since the days of brain damage back in the 80s, the music seems to work, you know? It just does.
And it's, to clarify, not based on president, it's based on term, right?
Yeah, except that, you know, this kind of militaristic marching sound that this particular theme has, kind of the way I've been feeling the last 4 years. Can you believe it's been 4 years? Oh, my God.
No, I cannot.
I remember, as if it were yesterday, the day after, you know, when he won. I don't know if I want to speak his name. There's this brilliant show called High Maintenance on HBO. It's about... Right, I'm going to say what it's about, and people will dismiss it immediately, because that's what people do. I've had people dismiss The Wire for being a cop show. You know, it's don't dismiss things until you try them out. But this show is called High Maintenance. It's about a guy who delivers pot on his bicycle. And it actually started before pot became legal in many parts of the country. And the first episode of season two, basically, he's going about his business, but then something happens, and... You know, he's in New York City, Brooklyn, pedaling around on his bicycle, and there's suddenly this darkness that falls upon the city, and you don't know what it is. And you're wondering, what, did a plane crash into a tower? Is it some kind of terrorist act or nuclear catastrophe, or what happened? And, of course, it was election night, or the day after Election Day, 2016. And, you know, you might think that's overly dramatic. No, that is how it was in New York City. People were stunned. Nobody saw this coming. People were walking around in a daze. We drove into the city the next day because we had a radio show in the city, and people were driving like zombies, more so than usual, and just everybody had this kind of blank, dazed expression on their faces. It was something that I think all of us who, you know, feel a certain way have been traumatized. And hopefully we'll learn from the experience. But, yeah, 4 years ago. Of course, the show came out after that, but that was the best depiction, I think, of that happening. And I still shake when I think about it, because, like I said, nobody saw it coming. And not that Hillary was any bargain, but we wouldn't be in the shape we're in right now if things had gone differently. There is no question about that. We would not have nearly 250,000 people dead as a result of a pandemic that a lot of the rest of the world has gotten a grip on, and our leader can't seem to even figure out what it is. We could just go on. I don't want this to be a negative night, because my hope is that we're going to turn a corner. He's even ruined that phrase. We're going to make changes. We're going to do that thing that America is able to do. You know what I mean? We're capable of immense stupidity, but we're also capable of change in ways that other parts of the world have trouble. You know, other parts of the world hold on to feuds for centuries, or are very strict about what they consider to be the right race or religion for their country. And we're all over the place. We're diverse. We can change. And I just hope this is one of those times where we do, and I actually feel a sense of pride again.
Also, the prospects back then, I think, were really more in the realm of unknowns. People really did not know what this meant, what his administration would be, what it would mean for the country, how do we accept this or not, or act in response to it, or defiance of it. I don't know how other people's 4 years were, but I'm irrespective of your particular reaction or how you've survived or come to where you are politically in this particular election day, you can't deny that this president has impacted everyone's life. And I think that your sense that the electorate can move and react is, I think, most evident when people are affected directly. And there's right. just no denying, no matter what, even if it's just a purely selfish thing, like you want to do something, you know, in a large gathering, you want to go to a rock show or I don't know, anything, your golf club closed. I don't know. I don't even know what petty thing people could put before the kinds of tragedy we've seen with immigration and on and on and on. When it hits home, people tend to realize, hey, we're the last stop in this. Like, uh-huh. if we let this go unchecked, it may not improve. And this is when the government turns to the electorate and says, what do you think? And I really hope there's a thoughtful and resounding response to it, as you said, has been really, I think, kind of negative. And I hope I've not misinterpreted the 4 years myself, but it felt slightly negative.
Uh-huh.
I don't know about, you know, other people's impressions.
But the period itself, the campaigns?
Yeah, all of it.
Yeah.
I'm being a little facetious.
It's been pretty damn negative. I'll certainly say that. And there is just so much bad that has been happening. The pandemic is of course number one, but also just the hatred that's out there. You know, the racism, the fear, the prejudice. It's always been there, and I guess that's we might have thought in 2016 that we were further along than we actually were. I remember doing shows back then in that whole campaign. Where we wondered, who are these people that are voting for Trump? We don't see any of them. We don't know any of them. It turns out they were everywhere. They were all around us. And now, you know, just driving around, you can't help but see some of these maniacs in their pickup trucks and massive flags that, you know, I'm all for freedom of speech. I'm all for voting for whomever you believe is best. But this is a show of intimidation when they are right behind you, tailgating you and honking their horns and just being intimidating while you're trying to drive safely. Or if you're just simply standing, you know, on the sidewalk and they come barreling by. Or, you know, the other day, they actually shut down traffic on the Triborough Bridge. Was it the Triborough?
Looked like the Kosciuszko Bridge.
I don't know. They were shutting down traffic everywhere. And here's the thing, okay? This whole law and order platform that we've been subjected to constantly, how Trump is the law and order candidate. You remember when Black Lives Matter protesters shut down a highway? You know, what happens to them when that occurs? They get run over and people say, yeah, well, they shouldn't have been in the highway. They're breaking the law. And in fact, some states even made it, or at least put it forth that they should not be charged with a crime if they run over somebody on the highway who is protesting. That's the sickness we've been dealing with. But they would be pepper sprayed, they would be arrested, they would be beaten. We saw it all this summer on our TVs. And now you have these Trump guys in their pickup trucks doing the exact same thing Nobody is being arrested. Nobody is being prosecuted. Certainly nobody is being pepper sprayed, run over, or beaten. You still think we all live equally? Because we don't. And this whole talk of how he is the law and order candidate is about as absurd as you can possibly get. If anybody has more disdain for law and order, it is Trump. Trump absolutely does not follow the rules. The rules don't apply to him. I don't know why people can't see that. You know, I don't understand how people who live in other states and live a completely different lifestyle, which we get into whenever we go into those parts of the country, but why would they gravitate towards somebody who obviously has contempt for you? Somebody who comes from his ivory tower here in New York City, you know, where all these coastal elites are supposedly from. He's one of them, and yet you embrace him. Why? He literally leaves you out in the cold. When he has a rally, he takes off on his airplane and leaves you there in the parking lot because nobody has coordinated buses to pick you up in the freezing cold. And yeah, that's okay too. No matter what he does, he could open up a machine gun and spray the crowd, and there would be people there that would defend him and say, you know what, it was the right thing to do. I don't know what's happened to this country. I really don't. It's some kind of mass hypnosis that has taken over and gotten people to make every excuse in the book for this guy, no matter what he does. You ask them, what could he do that would make you change your mind? They struggle for an answer. Remember the guy at the RNC? This is one of the films they showed, who said, yeah, this is the kind of guy you run through a wall for. He literally said that, run through a wall. Who would you run through? He might have even said a brick wall. I think he said a brick wall. Who would you run through a brick wall for? I mean, come on. If God himself, okay, appeared before me, and if she said, see what I did there? If she said, Emmanuel, run through the wall, I'm God, do that for me. I would say, nah, I'm not going to do that. I mean, you might be God, but you clearly don't have my interest in front and center, so I'm going to just do something else. Yeah, that's why I get into trouble.
By what authority, God?
Yeah.
The perfect retort.
I would ask questions, and that's always gotten me into trouble. Hey, I voted today. Yeah, I waited. I waited until Election Day. Everybody else is voting early. You voted a while ago.
Yes.
And your vote has been received. You understand?
Yes.
Great. Now, unlike you, you had all these questions and surveys and things that come with a Washington State ballot. I had six things to vote for. Two referendums. Referendi? What's it for? Referendum. Referendums. Yeah, I was right the first time. I had the president. Presidential election. I had congressional. I had a state senator and a couple. I think it was no more than four people. And the reason why it was so few is because I have a policy. I don't vote for anybody who's running on both Democrat and Republican tickets, especially if they're unopposed. What is the point? What am I doing? You know, I'm just encouraging that kind of behavior. There should be a difference. You can't be the same. You can't be both. No. So if you're on the Democratic ticket and you're on the Republican ticket, you're not going to get a vote from me. And if there's somebody else running on a cool party, like the Green Party or something, they'll get my vote. They'll get my vote. I'm not going to vote for you on a different party because you're running on all the parties. It's judges and sheriffs and dog catchers. I don't even know what it is, but it's not worth my time. So I was in and out in pretty quick time. There was, you know, the usual confusion because people are trying to feed the ballot into the fax machine or whatever it is. It looks like a fax machine. And, of course, the guy in front of me was having trouble doing that. But no problem. I didn't have to wait. And everyone was courteous. No line. But I went at a time when I knew there probably wasn't going to be a line. If you went first thing in the morning, there might have been a line. If you go now, there might be a line, too. But please, go now. In New York, you still have time. It's 6:18 right now. Our polls are open until 9 o'clock. Other parts, 8 o'clock. In fact, some parts, they're closing now. I think 6 o'clock and 7 o'clock in some places. But if you are listening and you have not voted yet, please get out there and vote. it's so important. And unlike what President Trump said, and I saw this, he said, if you're not going to vote for me, just go ahead and skip it. He actually said that. I've never seen anybody, any politician, sink so low as to tell people, don't show up if you're not going to vote for me. But that is who he is. Even we, and you can probably figure out our point of view as far as who we would support, who we would not support, we are not going to say, if you don't agree with us, don't vote. For God's sake, get out there and vote and think and, you know, reason rationally, all that kind of thing. We have to work all of this out. And this is the day where finally happens. We're finally here. I can't believe it's November 3rd. It really is.
Feels good, right?
I don't know. I guess it does. I'm on pins and needles.
Well, it's an achievement, and it's sure lucky you didn't have that enormous line to contend with, as so many other people are facing today. But it's something we're all going to have some kind of story about. And
had a bunch of Girl Scouts outside. Did you see that?
Yeah, they were selling.
A bunch of Girl Scouts. I mean, that's what you get accosted by when you go to the polling place, is Girl Scouts.
I think they're security.
I have an issue with them because the Girl Scouts, I never thought I'd have an issue with Girl Scouts, but I do. I'm not going to buy you damn cookies anymore, all right? You basically say congratulations to Amy Coney Barrett, you know, for being nominated to the Supreme Court. I don't agree with that. I don't think it's fair, just because she's female, for you to speak for all Girl Scouts, because I'm sure most of them don't support her. And to come up with a statement like that, it was triggering for me. So, no, I did not buy whatever they were selling. I just brushed past them and went about my business. I also, you know, I keep thinking back to 2008. Remember 2008?
I do.
There was an election that year, too. And I remember, in fact, you can relive it by simply going back to Off the Wall from November, whatever it was, the week after, in 2008. And that was, of course, when Barack Obama was elected. It was a momentous occasion. And people were in the street in New York City, all throughout the country. But it was, well, we kept describing it as like kind of a third world celebration when the dictator is overthrown. Of course, we're referring to George W. Bush. And he wasn't overthrown. His term ran out, and we just didn't get McCain. And McCain would have been a dream compared to what we've been through the last 4 years. In fact, pretty much all of them would have been a dream. But I remember just that celebration in the city just went on for hours, strangers dancing in the streets. It was so incredible. And that is the last time I bought a bottle of Johnny Walker Blue. Yeah, that's the expensive one. It's like $200 or something. I bought a bottle today.
You did?
I bought another bottle of Johnny Walker Blue today. My first one since 2008. That is
Wait,
how I
whoa.
Feel.
What polling data? What are you looking at? How do you...
It's more a cry for help, really. No, that sounds bad. No. I'm not crawling inside a bottle. No, it's just basically, I feel optimistic, and I want to keep feeling optimistic. And having something like that, you know, to sort of mark the occasion, it sort of gives me hope that, you know, I feel good enough that I can make that investment and hope that the bottle will be opened, because it won't be opened if things don't turn out well. But, I mean, you know, that town in New Hampshire, the one that always votes at midnight, which, by the way, everybody voted early. 101 million people voted early, which is incredible. So why is it even relevant that this stupid town in New Hampshire, I'm sorry for calling you stupid, but come on, five people there vote, and the whole world watches, which, by the way, Biden swept. All five of them voted for Biden. So, okay, cool.
They didn't even write a zero in Trump's column.
Really? Didn't even get the zero. I see so many people who are fed up, who I don't agree with on most you know, topics, most things. That, to me, is a sign of hope. You know, that people I have fundamental differences with, we can agree on that. We can agree that this was a bad idea and that we can do better. And that's what I hope we do. it's obviously not going to be a cakewalk afterwards, or whatever that is. There's going to be a lot of pushing and arguing and pressuring. But at least when it won't be spiraling down the drain, and at least there'll be a chance that we're going to take a step or two in the right direction instead of knowing that we're being snowplowed in the wrong direction.
To use a sailing analogy,
yes,
I would
please.
Say it's a tack. I think when you turn on a sailboat, you tack. I think that's what that's called.
Never heard that before.
Or in basketball, it would be like a pivot. No traveling, but like, you know, you pivot and go in a different direction.
You pivoted from sailing to basketball. That was incredible.
But like,
all right.
But like, there will be this entirety of a country behind that move. And of course, the rest of the ship there. Now, another maritime analogy.
Well, it's the same.
Or train. Yeah, the train has to follow that first turn.
Trains, that's another thing. You know, Joe Biden is so in love with trains, as we are. That, to me, is just that just is cool right there.
Yeah, even if he just gives it like a passive go-ahead and support and make sure things are, you know, on time or whatever, just the slightest bit of attention would be really a major...
support Amtrak.
...milestone and could mean a lot for the future of Amtrak.
Mm-hmm. Or if it has a future.
And if you're American and you haven't been on Amtrak, you should check it out sometime.
Yeah.
It's at least once in your life.
And the short hauls are great, but the long distance trains, that's the magic. That is the true magic, where you actually go to sleep on the train, you have your little compartment, and you wake up and you meet people. Obviously, this is a bad time for all of that. But I have to say this, with, you know, with the pandemic and all, it's
True.
You still, with that little cubicle that you have, you won't get to meet people at the table, which is traditional, but you'll have your meals brought to you. You're in a very safe place because you're encased in your little room there, and it's a lot better than going on a plane where, God, why would anybody go on an airplane? You know, it's you're stuck breathing the same air for hours. And
imagine if it was all even better.
Wait, can you say that in a different way?
I said, imagine if it was all even better.
All even better.
The train experience.
Oh, if the train was better, yeah.
Yeah.
That's, I was wondering if you're talking about the plane.
No,
yeah.
That's what you're yearning for. That's the message, is that just that one tiny issue getting a little bit more attention.
Yeah, like, you know, we go on YouTube and we find these live cameras of trains. And Japan is particularly frustrating because their trains are just so cool. There's one one channel that we found that's a high speed line. It's two tracks, but literally a train goes by every 5 minutes in one direction or the other at what must be 150 miles an hour. They have so many trains going so fast to so many places just in Japan, and We're still arguing over whether we should have a train at all, and if it's going to go faster than 50 miles an hour. It's pathetic. We should.
It's imbalanced. It's imbalanced too. Mm-hmm. I mean, we got to get like the chokehold the airlines have had. Like, it has to be a mixed transportation system that has a lot of different options that are supported and, you know, funding and capital improvements and other investments that are specific to their niche, you know,
right,
whatever type of transportation or their circumstance, whatever region or city they're in. All that stuff takes thought, and not just one or two deals with one company and then, okay, you know, it's done, I did that. And that's the mentality we've had, is that if it looks like some transactional thing happened, somehow that's a success. That's not true. You need a comprehensive plan for civil engineering, and there's a procedure and funding for the people that check the tracks in Tokyo at 2 a.m. when there's no trains running.
Right.
They check every bolt. You know, they're looking for damage. That costs money. You have to pay for those kinds of things and implement them and design things to be to that standard and to that level of safety. And I've been anticipating Infrastructure Week for many weeks now, and I'm hoping that people vote for leaders that will do a lot more for the future of transportation.
Do you know they've had high-speed trains in Japan since the 1960s, I believe? And by high speed, I mean higher speed than we have now, since the 60s. And in all that time, not one person has died in an accident. Not one. So I think, you know, for green technology that gets you there fast, that's a lot more pleasant than flying or driving, it's worth looking at. I think after 60 years or so, it's something that we might want to consider.
Do you realize ISS has only been operational for 20 years?
I've been reading articles about the space station and how it's going to fall apart. That basically it's nearing the end of its life. And I don't understand what we're thinking.
That's not true.
I hope it's not true, but no. I saw an article about it.
Private space industry is going to build a megastructure around it.
Are they? Okay, yeah. Don't give it up. Don't build from it. Yes, that's exactly
and
what they should
do.
And
then it'll turn into like this historic core that you visit sometimes.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
I would visit that.
Yeah.
I would totally visit that. That's how you do it. You start with something humble and small, and you build around it.
Well, they've not stopped building. I'm sorry to change the subject, but...
That's what we do.
It's been a continuous engineering project, and it's exciting just to think about some of the possibilities for space and engineering and stuff like
they
that.
They voted from space. Voted from space, or at least one astronaut voted from space.
Yeah, I'm really fascinated. I was reading about how that process works, and, you know, those tests and experiments... Even that experiment, just so that the astronauts can vote, would probably have some lessons for voting in the future for Americans. But what we have is what we have today, and hopefully everyone's participating and not confused and getting counted. That's the most important thing. So pick your coverage, get your snack or libation or whatever that is. Get ready for some kind of... uncertainty, some nerves.
Well, I don't know what you're actually going to conclude tonight.
I don't think you will, but you could.
There might be something. There hopefully will be something. Maybe the local races, or just get a sense, get an idea.
It's all about paths to a win, and it's a few states, and some are weighted differently, whether you're Republican or Democrat, but as soon as those sort of little veins, if it was a leaf. You know how there's veins in a leaf?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is the metaphor show, by the way. Anyway, so as those start emerging, you start seeing which path really looks like a possibility or is a sure thing, and that eventually might tell you that there's not much room for a win or a reversal of that trend. When the paper ones are tabulated. But there's also this, like, weighting of the paper ballots having to be counted and the old districts not being able to count them at certain points. And then, of course, the president threatening that he doesn't want people to be able to count them after the fact, even though that's illegal. So, we have, barring all of that, yeah, we should have some slight indication that, you know, maybe the country went one way or the other. I think it's... Everyone's too nervous... to really want to say which one or the other, because the stakes are so high for everybody's pride, I think.
Well, the polls have favored Biden, I'll say that. But everybody always points out that the polls also favored Hillary Clinton 4 years ago. And to that I say, okay, but Hillary Clinton was an unpopular candidate. You know, we were saying that back in 2007 when she was running. Democrats don't seem to be able to learn these lessons.
And Tim Kaine, I mean, who's he?
Exactly. Nice guy, but just, you know.
No, nothing personal.
He's no Kamala Harris.
Kamala? Yeah. That is something to get excited about.
I think so. I mean, yeah, you can point to anybody and say, oh, but she did this back then. Yeah, you know, find somebody who didn't do that back then. You know, there's always going to be something. You can get Bernie Sanders elected, and people are going to say, you know what, you're not cool enough. Or back, you know, 20 years ago.
Whatever. Pick Mike Pence pick the same year and tell me what he was ruining that year.
Oh,
I'm
boy.
Sure there's something.
Yeah, yeah.
And don't even get me started on Trump.
Oh,
so
my God,
whatever.
The people that we have come to meet over the past 4 years.
Yeah, I want to purge all of them from my brain. I don't care. I don't want to know anything about them, any of them.
Well, I want to just know that they're away and maybe prosecuted. I really, really think that there need to be prosecutions for just the immense damage that has been done, the theft, the open contempt for law and order, what has happened with all the lives that have been lost through complete neglect and carelessness. And, I don't want that to be forgiven. I really don't want that to be forgiven. But we'll have to see. You know, it's up to Democrats what to do, assuming that things go their way. And, you know, it seems that all those people lining up over the past couple of weeks, it seems most of them are angry about what's going on right now.
I think there's a lot more people to be angry about what's going on than more people jumping on the grievances of the Trump train.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. You get the sense of that. There's just more people that are like, no, this is not working for me, and in fact, it's affecting me. And that's what I was saying at the top of the show.
Right.
Is that it's affecting people's just baseline freedoms, pocketbooks, all those little things along the way, whatever, even if it's like a petty issue. At a certain point, that plus a bunch of, you know, aggressive bluster, it's too much for people to bear. They don't want that. They want consistency in their government. They want the government to quietly handle and represent the people the way they would expect it to do, with some dignity, and otherwise let people get on with their lives, their work, their families, their, you know, celebrations or worship or whatever it is, but leave them the hell alone and
plus,
do the work.
When you consider all the people that have come of age over the past 4 years.
Oh, yeah.
That are voting for the first time.
Cannot forget that.
Yeah, and just the amount of activism that we have seen, the amount of people who have really found their voice over the past few years. I'm so impressed by that, and maybe we needed to go through a period like this to find that strength. I hope that's what it is. You mentioned the Trump train. Of course, that's what they call these dozens, sometimes hundreds of vehicles that come plowing through your town. It's an intimidation tactic, because if you had that many people just standing, it wouldn't seem to be that much. They would mock us if we were gathered together in a group that big. But when you have big machinery with loud noises and huge flags and angry people behind the wheel, you feel like it's more than it actually is, and it really isn't that much. My question is, when this goes away, will it actually go away? You know, if things go well and these people find themselves no longer in power, what happens then? I think they're still going to remain loud. I think there might even still be Trump rallies. There might even still be Trump rallies. I don't know what would be in it for him, but I could see that happening. Or, you know, if it's not him, it could be somebody else. Imagine, you know, this is something that I've brought up a number of times. Trump is so easy to point fingers at and say, oh my God, can you believe he did this? Well, what if he wasn't like that? What if he had the ability to get these crowds together and get people to follow him no matter what, and he was competent, and he was somebody who knew what he was doing. He was somebody that was able to affect change, the exact kind of change we don't want. Imagine that. You can believe Republicans are imagining that, and they're planning for that, and they're looking for the next charismatic person that they can get to start the next cult. I don't mean to demean people, but come on, look what we've been going through. It's
yeah, they need a charismatic stand-in that has more face to save.
And this is cultish behavior, what we have seen, because it makes no sense to follow somebody who leads you into these dark places.
And short-circuits your critical thinking in the process.
Yeah. Losing your employment, losing your health care, losing your lives in many cases.
All while sicking people on others who have equal rights to differing opinions and everything else that you enjoy. Just sicking your worst feelings and fears and having you basically lash out at others simply because their opinions are different.
Mm-hmm.
They're not really, they don't even know why they're attacking Democrats. They have talking points to help them attack, but they're not really even critically thinking about it.
It's basically a lot of make-believe. We saw a sign driving earlier today, say no to socialism. Socialism? I mean, you really think Joe Biden is a socialist? My God. I've known socialists over my years, and he is so far away from that ideology, it's laughable.
Lol.
It is super laughable. This is not socialist. There's nothing radical here.
It's a misnomer and a half. LOL.
I mean, you know, I would embrace something much more to the left than Joe Biden, but that's not coming, and I realize that's not coming. Right now.
And what do you want? More stimulus checks? Like, that's pretty socialist. I mean, we're not functioning the way we ought to be under the auspices of this leadership.
Yeah, Social Security, that has most of the word socialist in it. Libraries, fire departments, highways, all that. It's all,
but
you could call it all socialist if you want.
It's just a misnomer. It's just something to get people in the weeds, and it's gaslighting.
It also shows how desperate they are.
Oh, fully.
That they have to call, you know, people like Nancy Garoff or Joe Biden or anybody who is a Democrat, to call them radical. I mean, it's an insult to radicals, for one thing. And I've known a number of them over the years. It tells me they have nothing else. They have nothing else to point to, and they just want to get people so afraid and riled up. And I think people are more intelligent than that. If they listen, if they interact, they realize these are just regular, normal people that feel differently about certain things. There's nothing, they're not going to be burning down your cities or invading your homes. I literally saw Trump on TV before saying, if Joe Biden is elected, there'll be no Christmas, there'll be no 4th of July, there'll be no school. I think he's referring to the pandemic, but of course...
He's just mixing all the things.
Joe Biden is not the pandemic. I mean, this is how you deal with situations like this, but it's not canceling these things. It's just dealing with them intelligently so that we will have them in the future. And because we haven't been doing that, that's why we're in the state we're in right now. Think of it. 250,000 of your fellow citizens dead. Now, obviously, not all of that is Trump's fault, because it was a global pandemic. But if you look at other countries...
No, it takes a lot of explaining.
You can't say every single death, but...
No, not every single one.
Most of them certainly. Look at New Zealand, look at Taiwan, look at South Korea, look at almost any place else. And it didn't have to be this way. And all he had to do was tell his minions, wear a mask, and they would have done it. They would have done it. Immediately, he said, I'm not going to do it. It's voluntary. I'm not going to wear a mask. Right there, that was it. That was the turning point. He could have saved tens of thousands of lives at that point, chose not to. How would that have hurt him? How would that have hurt him? This is the kind of thing that we cannot forget, and this is the kind of thing that I really hope is pursued when this is over. And we still have a ways to go. Even if Biden does have a victorious election, I don't know if Trump is going to ever concede. I saw him talking today, and he actually almost sounded like he was conceding. He said, winning is great, losing has always been hard for me. The fact that he would even say losing has been hard, has he ever lost anything in his life, admitting that made me say, is he really considering this? But, of course, he immediately changed to say that, of course, we're going to win big. I don't think he's going to accept any result that does not favor him. And what comes after that happens, we are...
Yeah, which is what will he blame, yeah, right? Like the
We are in for either the scariest 4 years ahead of us or the scariest 100 days ahead of us. One of those is going to happen in this country. And better buckle down, because it's going to be a ride.
Scarier than the last 4 years?
Yeah. You know, if there's another 4 years after this, I mean, Kyle, what do you think?
Oh.
I like I said a while ago, I think a lot of people will give up. I think a lot of people will leave.
Yeah.
And I think it'll get to the state where we cannot recover. 6-3 majority in the Supreme Court? How about a 9-0 majority? healthcare that will never come back, immigrants hunted down in the streets, who knows?
Yeah, it'll be really easy to become a failed state and probably a prison state.
In many ways, yeah.
It'll just be private huge penitentiaries.
Did you see the White House? There is a wall around the White House now. Have you seen this? It's like the goddamn Berlin Wall.
Mm-hmm.
It literally looks like you can't see the White House because he built a wall in front of it, around it. That is where we are. I don't know why this hasn't got more news coverage. They're calling it an insurmountable fence. It's not a fence. It's a wall. It is a wall. He built this wall, but he built it around the White House.
I mean, just the imagery, like the metaphor or the symbolism in that is not the action of someone who thinks he's going to concede or lose.
Yeah, yeah. That's not victory right there. I don't think that is. So who's going to stand in front of it and say, Mr. President, tear down this wall? Someone has to do that.
Someone absolutely has to do
I'll
that.
I'll do it. I'll go down there and do that. I haven't been to Washington, D.C. since...
I think April Ryan should...
She should, though.
She should
but
be
I have not been to D.C. since he was elected, except on a train going through.
I don't
through.
Think I have. I think I passed by. Yeah.
I don't know. It's definitely going to be... it's going to be a ride. But, folks, we're here. We're going to be here. We're going to stay here. And we hope you all be here as well. In fact... now that we're talking about being together and all that, supporting WUSB is a really important thing to do because that enables this voice to continue being here no matter what happens. And boy, we've seen some things happen. So there are a couple of ways you can do that. You can call 631-632-6901. And if somebody answers, pledge. Pledge whatever you can afford, whether a one-time sum or a monthly sum. And I said if somebody answers, because things are busy tonight, and it's possible that your call might go to voicemail. If it does go to voicemail, just give your information, not your credit card information, give your contact information. Somebody will call you back and take your pledge that way. You can also go to WUSB.FM. And there's all kinds of things that we offered, T-shirts and coffee mugs.
Tote bags. Sweatshirts.
Sweatshirts and CDs. And
ski hats.
Ski hats.
Maybe,
all sorts
I think
of
things. So.
Okay, well, it's so many things. We don't have time to even go through them all. But the most important thing is the radio station itself. Here at 90.1 and 107.3, broadcasting since 1977. And hopefully continuing well into the future. And your participation is essential. We can't take phone calls because we're at a remote location. And to take phone calls, we have to be able to use delay. And that would involve having somebody else riding the delay system.
It's all very technical.
Too much coordination. That it's just... we'll get there at some point, I hope.
But. We could. Hey, if you support the station, the item that you would like that is emblazoned with WUSB, maybe we could request that and find that item. Or maybe we could set up a remote phone system because we have extra donations and all of our operational expenses are taken care of, and our general manager is pulling her hair out because she doesn't know what to do with all the money that was raised.
I don't think that's a danger. Well, I hope it's a danger, but I don't think it is. But we'll see. We'll see.
The important thing is you can make that difference by calling or supporting the station, and it really goes a long way.
631-632-6901. That's the phone number to call. Would like to see a lot of people call in. And, again, if you get voicemail, leave your contact info. Somebody will get back to you. Or go to the website, WUSB.FM. This is the most important radio station on Long Island. I say that without any fear of contradiction. Find me a station that is more important than WUSB.
Or more varied.
Yeah, and that's what makes it important, is the wide variety of opinions and music and news and even sports.
And expertise and historic knowledge of the station and of music and culture on Long Island and just so much that the university has been a part of and has been the epicenter of, and one of those things that has emanated for so long from the university is WUSB, and you right now, you're participating in that.
You're a part of it.
And WUSB goes back so much further than when we went on the air FM in 1977. It goes back into the 60s because we used to be a carrier current station at 8:20 a.m., which meant you have to be in a dormitory and plugged into the wall. But the thing is, the people who ran the station back then had a vision for what the station could be. And they got us record service, meaning that record companies would send us albums as they came out so that we were able to build a library and have that library actually there when the station was ready to go and get a whole lot of listeners. So that's amazing. That's the kind of vision that we continue to have to this day. And we want you to be a part of it.
And that listenership, those albums coming in, it turns our programmers and DJs onto new artists, and then they come by, they come through. It makes the station a destination, and we're hoping that as things become safer, we can do all that kind of special programming that WSB is known for, having artists performing, doing all the stuff that we really love to bring to you, and every bit of your contributions will go towards the operations and expenses that we incur, and will help sustain us to get to that point where we can do so much of what we've missed in the past couple months. So please let us know you're out there and contribute whatever you can.
Again, 631-632-6901 is the phone number. Either speak to the Cheery representative on the other side of the phone or leave your contact info on the voicemail. Or go to the website, WUSB.FM, and pledge that way. You can pledge any amount, either all up front or an amount like $5 a month. That actually helps a lot because there are 12 months in a year. So do the math, and that's $60 in a year. And if 10 people did that, that's $600.
And it's something that the station can count on and know that it's going to be there in a reliable sense. So if you're not at the same time, on the flip side of that, you're not responsible for getting pestered or having a reminder. So being able to set something really small like that up goes a long way. If 10 people do that, boy, that's even more. $600?
Yeah, $600. If 10 people did that. Yeah, I think so.
It's a lot. It goes a long way. So please think of us, and especially now that it's the end of the year and you're thinking about...
It's not the end of the year. It is. You're right. It's getting there.
The your tax... free gifts and so forth. WSB.
Yeah, they're tax deductible to the extent permissible by law.
That's right.
I'm not exactly sure what that means, but it is tax deductible.
Ask your tax person; they'll tell you what that
means.
They're
called accountants. Yes. And again, 631-632-6901 or WUSB.FM.
Well, what's coming out?
Okay. To let people know, first of all, very important. If you're in Georgia, and you could be in Georgia, we have Georgian listeners from both Georgias, actually. If you're in Georgia or you're in Florida. Polls are about to close in 9 minutes. So get your asses down to the polling center if you haven't done so already. All right? You're running out of time. It's important that you vote. Ohio, North Carolina, you have until 7:30. So you have a little bit of time. You can drive like a normal person. Pennsylvania, very important state. They close at 8 p.m. So does Michigan. And they're in the Eastern time zone, right? Yeah, so 8 p.m. For Michigan and for Pennsylvania. New York, where we are right now, 9 p.m. I don't know why everybody isn't until 9 p.m. But New York is always later. Minnesota, also 9 p.m. Arizona, 9 p.m. out west. We shouldn't have to tell you what your state, what the rules are. Please vote. If you still have the time to do it, please vote. It's the most important election I think any of us have it gone through. All right, so coming up here, Finn is not going to be in tonight. I think he's online at a polling station. He's been online since 7 this morning.
Really?
No, I don't know. No, he's probably having some kind of election party celebration.
Why?
Because it's election day, Kyle. That's why. That's enough of a reason to celebrate. The fact that we get to go to the polls in the first place and make our opinion known to a little piece of paper... That is something to celebrate. I might open my Johnny Walker Blue anyway, just for that.
Oh, that's cool. Oh, wait. Oh, yeah. No, that would be really cool.
No, I have a V8. I'll just open that instead. until the results come in. But anyway, so Finn's not going to be in at 7 o'clock. We were going to do a two-hour special, but we had a last-minute schedule change.
So we're going to do a not-so-special.
Well, it's going to be compressed into 1 hour. So if it moves a little fast, that's why it's moving fast. So we're not going to have what we planned with a lot of banter back and forth. So we're basically going to be taking a look at the last half century of presidents in this country.
I was just going to ask, what do you have planned?
The last half century of presidents through music and spoken word.
Interesting. Okay. Oh,
but not my music or spoken word.
So it's like a radio collage.
Well, only because it'll be on the radio.
Okay. Okay. So it's like you're going to be quilting. It's like a quilt. You know what? Never, just
yeah, you're giving it way too much credit. It's basically, you know, we're going to start at Nixon,
uh-huh.
All right, and then we're going to move on.
Wait, that's okay, the beginning of recorded time?
No, it's 50 years ago. It's 50,
oh, okay,
half century.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, half century.
What part of half
right.
century is
no,
it?
No, you're right, you're right. You're
but here's the biggest disappointment in having this reduced from 2 hours is that we get no Trump. But you know what? I think people have had enough of Trump, so that's a worthy sacrifice. We'll be fine.
Yeah, you get the idea.
It ends with Obama. And in a way, it did end with Obama, so that kind of works. But that's coming up in about 6 minutes, 5 or 6 minutes.
All right, I'm looking forward to that. I'll probably have that on in the background. I'd love to check that out. 50 years, that's remarkable. There's been a lot of history, so I'm curious what you mean by spoken word and cultural artifacts. So that sounds great.
Yeah, comedy bits. Sometimes comedy bits by the presidents themselves.
Oh, really? Okay.
Well, actually, you know, one of the pieces we had to cut was Ronald Reagan telling jokes. But, you know what? You don't need to hear that. You don't need to hear Ronald Reagan telling it. That period was a joke in itself. And a lot of people don't realize that either. A lot of people don't realize how Ronald Reagan was looked down upon. He was an actor being put. We couldn't believe this was actually happening. But then, you know, George W. Bush happened, and we couldn't believe that we thought Ronald Reagan was bad. And now we have Trump. We can't believe George W. Bush. But he is responsible for so much death and destruction throughout the world. We can't ever forget that. Even Jimmy Carter, people look up to him so much. But at the time, when he was president, people did not like him. And that's why he only had one term. So, yeah, it's an interesting look back at some of our history, and I think people should always try and study as much of it as possible. It is interesting. It is interesting. Watching C-SPAN, you learn so much, and just following the news these days, you learn so much. Any final thoughts, last words for... That sounds ominous. No, last words for tonight, because I think, you know, the next few weeks, I hope, will be looking into a brighter future, or just a change of one sort or another. Hopefully we feel empowered. Hopefully we keep doing good things. And hopefully we get a lot of friends back that we've been separated from over the past few years. Hopefully, you know, we realize that it doesn't have to stay this way. And that we all really do want the same thing in the end, don't we? I don't know. The next few days and weeks and months, that'll tell the difference. But if it's war you want, we're not. Well, we'll save that for next week. We'll see how it goes. You can always write to us, otw@2600.com, off the wall here on WUSB. And you can always keep listening to WUSB for all sorts of awesome things. Oh, by the way, I mentioned the schedule change. So at 8 o'clock, we have a special WUSB/Statesman Stony Brook election coverage. And at 9 o'clock, I believe we're going to Democracy Now! And their coverage of the election, tonight's election. So there's no reason on earth for you to switch that dial. Just assuming you have power to your radio or computer or whatever, just keep it going. And you're going to hear some interesting things over the next few hours. And it won't be stressful. It'll be interesting. It'll be historic.
Okay, I got it. I'm on this. I've been on this roller coaster, and I'm ready for a new roller coaster. That's where I'm at.
Does it have to be a roller coaster?
Well, I thought that would be a good analogy.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind being on a Ferris wheel for a change. That would be different.
Or a scrambler, you know.
Oh no, those make me sick.
Yeah, they're pretty violent.
Folks, get out and vote if you haven't done it already. We will see you next week. I'll be back in a few minutes, actually, introing some of these pieces, and. Stay safe. Write to us again, otw@2600.com. And keep listening to WUSB.
So long.
This is WUSB Stony Brook. Stay tuned for a half century of presidents, starting with Richard Nixon.
Good evening. Now that most of the major witnesses in the Watergate phase of the Senate committee hearings on campaign practices have been heard, the time has come for me to speak out about the charges made for the American people. I shall not attempt to deal tonight with the facts. My effort throughout has been to hide the facts. On May 22nd, before the major witnesses had testified, I issued a detailed statement addressing the charges that had been made against the president. My statement has been contradicted by every witness in a position to know the facts. And I state tonight, I had prior knowledge of the Watergate break-in. I took part in subsequent cover-up activities. I engaged in illegal campaign tactics. On September 12th, at a meeting that I held with the cabinet, the senior White House staff, and a number of legislative leaders, Attorney General Kleindienst reported on the investigation. He told us it had been the most extensive cover-up since the assassination of President Kennedy. I relied on the best law enforcement agencies in the country to cover up the truth. I believed they had done so, just as they believed they had done so. Turning now to the basic issues which have been raised by Watergate, I stand for excessive partisanship, for enemy lists, for efforts to use the great institutions of government for partisan political purposes. The institutions of government must be used against the people. Those who insisted on the old restraints must be punished, brutally suppressed, shouted down, or even physically assaulted. If there are laws we disagree with, let us work to change them. But let us not obey them until they are changed. Many have urged that in order to help prove the truth of what I have said, I should turn over to the special prosecutor and the Senate committee recordings of conversation that I held in my office or on my telephone. However, the tapes implicate the president personally in the illegal activities that took place. If I were to make public these tapes, no one would want to speak to me. Thank you, and good evening.
But let's go down now to the podium for the official swearing-out ceremony conducted by the Right Reverend Billy Graham.
God damn you, Richard Nixon! Richard Nixon, you son of a bitch! Get the hell out of here, you lied your ass off!
Well, that's about it for America's Day of Shame. The president has been officially impeached, and the eternal microphone has been switched on as the CIA brass band plays Wiretaps. But, Barbara, this is not only an historic moment, it's a personal one. What has impeachment meant to the little people, the ordinary, simple people? You, for example, Barbara.
Well, Wallace, I just don't think that the American people should in any way be ashamed of this tragic occurrence. Although a bunch of bleeding heart do-gooders have used constitutional force to do away with our beloved president, This country is still founded on the age-old traditional values of bribery, violence, and assassination. And just because there are a few good apples in the barrel doesn't mean that the vast majority are not rotten through and through.
Okay, good thinking, Barbara. And now from Washington, D.C., this is Wallace Gladstone.
And Barbara Murray.
Thanking you for being with us and signing off.
And now, here's Jerry.
Hey, well, hello. How are you doing, everybody? We got a great show for you tonight and for the next 3 years. A funny thing happened to me on the way to the White House. I crossed the road to get to the other side. Okay. How do you get a 4-ton steel light bulb? Well, first of all, you take your suspender, you get a ladder, and take two people and turn the ladder and one.
And that's one of the rare pieces on Gerald Ford that you'll find a lot on Nixon. That was from National Lampoon, from an album called Missing White House Tapes. And now we move into the Carter years and the Not Ready for Primetime Players from Saturday Night Live.
Hi there, everybody. It's good to see your faces. I want to talk to you tonight about a time on a Democratic tradition. Sexual performance in the White House. I want to personally try to be a lusty, zesty kind of president. Hi, baby, how are you? I follow the lusty example of LBJ, JFK, and FDR. I want you to remember for a moment about the love life of Harry Truman. But my guess is his first lady was a one-satisfied customer. I've said in my heart that I've committed adultery, and God forgives me, and I forgot to add when I said that in my heart I have worn women's clothing. And I look very beautiful in it, too. I don't know why I said that, but except in the long run, I think it'll help me get elected. Yeah, whistle stopping like this, I've had the opportunity to lust after a lot of women in America. But so far in my campaign, I've only fantasized, and now I actually look forward to actually dating some of the women I've lusted after. Saucy vixens like Lainey Kazan, Sherry Lewis, Phyllis Newman. Actually, I'm not sure that God ever forgave me for Phyllis Newman. But I want you to look at our Democratic heritage. FDR, JFK, LBJ, Harry Truman. Now here were lusty, zesty men, seething with vital hormonal secretions. These were men of action. Doers. Democrats. As your president, I look forward to deeply satisfying each and every one of you. God forgive us all. Thank you.
In 1924, a Georgia son was born to James Earl and Lillian Gordy of Plains. He grew to become an American like none. Jimmy Carter was his name. From his farm family to the Naval Academy, when his papa died, young Carter went home to the fields of his birth, planting seeds in the earth and to the governor's mansion and beyond. Hey, hey. A good man, brave. shook a million hands, and his feet trod a million different lands. He read a million books, and he sowed a million seeds in the red earth and in the shifting sands. From the peanut farms of Georgia to the Norwegian fjords, Palestine and Mali and Bahrain, from the bricks of Bethlehem to the caves of Pakistan and the brushy fields and hills around plains, for the hungry and the poor, and making election day fair, fighting prejudice and sickness and disease, planting seeds in the dirt, preaching not an angry word, continents and all the seven seas. George Washington, Sojourner Truth, and Martin Luther King, Woody Guthrie, Jackie Robinson, Mark Twain. Tell your daughters and your sons of the great Americans, and don't forget the man from Plains. Hey, hey, man from Plains. From the Coulee to the Aswan Dam. But brother versus brother spills the blood of one another, you children of Abraham. A perfect truth might not be of this world, solve one problem, two more remain. But both living free in peace and harmony, that's the prayer of a man from Plains.
Dan Byrne, the Ballad of Jimmy Carter from Jimmy Carter, Man from Plains. Closing out our Jimmy Carter set on this look at 50 years of American presidents. We started with the Not Ready for Primetime Players from Saturday Night Live and a Jimmy Carter intro. Let's move on to Ronald Reagan, and this is from Louisiana Red and Carrie Bell. Reagan is for the rich man.
You know Reagan is for the rich man. Poor man ain't got no way. Rich people getting richer and poor people dying by the day. I'll be so glad, so glad, so glad when Ronald Reagan's term is done. I'd rather see him in a cowboy movie than in the White House in a political run. Well, Reagan for the rich man. Poor man ain't got no way. Rich people getting richer and poor people dying by the day. All right, King.
know, I used to be a truck driver, fellas, in Arizona. Delivering turquoise for my pay. Boss cut my check now, and I said, boss, man, you like Ronald Reagan every day. I had a poor old 80-year-old grandmother. He cut a Social Security check down. I'll be so glad, be so glad, I'll be so glad. Yeah, yeah, I'll be so glad now with Ronald Reagan around. Well, ring it for the rich man. Poor man ain't got no way, yeah, yeah, yeah. Rich people getting richer, poor people dying by the day.
I really haven't seen this many people in one place since they took the group photographs of all the criminals and lawbreakers in the Ronald Reagan administration.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh.
225 of them so far. 225 different people in the Ronald Reagan administration have either quit, been fired, been arrested, indicted, or convicted of either breaking the law or violating the ethics code. 225 of them. And Edwin Meese alone. Edwin Meese alone has been investigated by 3 separate special prosecutors, and there's a 4th one waiting for him in Washington right now. 3 separate special prosecutors have had to look into the activities of the Attorney General. And the Attorney General is the nation's leading law enforcement officer. See, that's what you got to remember. This is the Ronald Reagan administration we're talking about. These are the law and order people. These are the people who are against street crime. They want to put street criminals in jail to make life safer for the business criminals. They're against street crime. Yeah. Yeah, they're against street crime, providing that street isn't Wall Street. And the Supreme Court decided about a year ago that it's all right to put people in jail now if we just think they're going to commit a crime. It's called preventive detention. All you've got to do now is just think they're going to commit a crime. Well, if we'd have known this 7 or 8 years ago, we could have put a bunch of these Republican motherfuckers directly into prison. Yeah. Put them in the joint where they belong, and we could have saved the money of putting these country club pinheaded assholes on trial. Another thing you got to remember, this is the group of people who were elected with the help of the moral majority. Elected with the help of the moral majority and the Teamsters Union. That's a good combination. Organized religion and organized crime working together to help build a better America. Another thing. Keep in mind, these Reagan people are the ones that were going to get government off our backs. Remember that? That was the rhetoric of the 1980 campaign. We'll get government off your backs and out of your lives. Yeah, but they still want to tell you what magazines you can read, and they still want to tell you what rock lyrics you can listen to, and they still want to force your kids to pray in school, and they still want to tell you what you can say on the radio. The FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, decided all by itself that radio and television were the only two parts of American life not protected by the free speech provisions of the First Amendment to the Constitution. I'd like to repeat that because it sounds vaguely important. The FCC, an appointed body, not elected, answerable only to the president, decided on its own that radio and television were the only two parts of American life not protected by the First Amendment to the Constitution. Why did they decide that? Because they got a letter from a minister in Mississippi. A Reverend Donald Wildman in Mississippi heard something on the radio that he didn't like. Well, Reverend, did anyone ever tell you there are 2 knobs on the radio? Of course, I'm sure the Reverend isn't that comfortable with anything that has 2 knobs on it. But hey, Reverend, there are two knobs on the radio. One of them turns the radio off, and the other one changes the station. Imagine that, Reverend. You can actually change the station. It's called freedom of choice, and it's one of the principles this country was founded upon. Look it up in the library, Reverend, if you have any of them left when you finish burning all the books. Yeah? Now, I don't know how you feel, but I have personally just about had it with these fucking church people. Just about had it. Yeah. You know what I say we should do with these churches? Tax them. Tax these motherfuckers. If they're so interested in politics and government and public policy, let them pay their fucking admission price like everybody else. You know what I mean? Tax them. Hey, the Catholic Church alone could wipe out the federal budget deficit if all you did was tax them on their real estate holdings. And speaking of real estate holdings, let's get back to Ronald Reagan and his criminal gang. When last we left them, they were going to get government off our backs. Yeah, but when it comes to abortion, they don't mind government being in a woman's uterus, do they? Yeah, backs are no good, but uterus is okay by them. These people call themselves right-to-lifers. Don't you love that phrase? And don't you love the way these kind of people pervert the English language, right-to-lifers? You realize that most of the right-to-lifers are in favor of the death penalty, and they support the South American death squads, and they're against gun control, and they're against nuclear weapons control. When they say right-to-life, they're talking about their right to decide which people should live or die. So these right-wingers, you know? So these Reagan people, these right-wingers in general, these crypto-fascists, they're against homosexuality. They're against pornography. They're against sex education. They're against abortion. Yeah, they're going to get government off your back, but they're going to tell you how to live your sex life. And let me ask you this, how would they know anything about it?
And now a message from the President of the United States.
Good evening. Happy holidays to y'all. Once again, it's that festive season. Tonight, our Jewish friends observe the fifth night of Hanukkah, the celebration of a military victory won centuries ago in a part of the world where today 400,000 brave Americans await my order to annihilate Iraq. Now, none of us want war in that whole area out over there. But as Commander-in-Chief, I am ever cognizant of my authority to launch a full-scale orgy of death there on the desert sand. Probably won't, but then again, I might. Now, if we do go to war, I can assure you it will not be another Vietnam, because we have learned, well, the simple lesson of Vietnam. Stay out of Vietnam. That's right. There's those guys, they'll beat you. They'll beat you bad, bad, they're bad, bad. But this time is different over there because the world's behind us. You know, critics say, why is the U.S. doing all the work over there? Not true. Not true at all. 78 countries are contributing to Operation Desert Shield. Not all, that's right, not all sending troops, sure, but giving what they are able, doing that giving thing they do. From Belgium, nylon helmet covers. From New Zealand, socks. Socks ranging in size 6 over here all the way through 12. Now 6 is small. 12, that's kind of big. Me, I'm a 10 and a half right in there. Could wear a 10 down here. Wouldn't be prudent. From the Congo, we got Ray-Ban sunglasses. 2 pair. From Yugoslavia, men's swimming trunks. From Mexico down there, salsa. Chunky style. Makes you hungry. Now, this goes on and on. So you see, the world's behind us, not like Vietnam, and this time our strike will be swift and deadly. Dangerous. Now, I know you're watching out there, Mr. Saddam Hussein. The time is running out on you. The deadline, the morning of January 15th, 1 month from today, when that morning dawns, you won't be hearing chirping birds. You'll be hearing something a little different, something more like this. Then nothing. Then you wait. Then, kaboom! Then once again. Nothing. You're lucky it's a dud. Then, kaboom! Short fuse. And finally, the last thing you'll hear is you pass into oblivion live from New York. It's Saturday
children are playing in the street again. Don't you know what happened down there? The youth of 14 got shut down there. The cocaine guns are jamming downtown. The killing clowns and blood money men shooting those Washington bullets again. And every cell in Chile will tell the cries of the tortured men. Remember Allende and the days before the army came. Please remember Victor Jara in the Santiago Stadium, Las Vegas, those Washington bullets again. Bought a Playboy in the Cuban sun. The Castro is a color that's a redder than red. Was Washington bullets want Castro dead? Castro from the era when the color of hope was red. Mikhail stood proud through his ordeal, the last defender of the great ideal. He led his party towards the light. Now he's stabbed in the back by left and right. Washington smiles and rises and cries, come on down Yeltsin, collect your prize. New world order is the dream of a new world dies. Vietnam, Panama, desert storm, Washington bullets and acorn form. Now there's no need for bullets, just threats and cash. TV dinners and video trash. It's what the peasants want and it's what they'll get. Oh, Mikhail, how they forget. Off to market without a safety net. Bankers and pigs come out to play. Now we're giving it all away. New world order, and the dollar says obey.
And that, of course, is Attila the Stockbroker with their rendition of the Clash song Washington Bullets, the New World Order mix, preceded by classic Dana Carvey and George H.W. Bush from SNL. George Carlin, Reagan's Gang, and we started off with Reagan's For the Rich Man by Carrie Bell and Louisiana Red. You're listening to Half a Century of American Presidents here on WUSB, Election Night 2020. At 8 o'clock, we will have special local coverage coming from Stony Brook Statesman and WUSB. But now, let's enter into the Clinton era of our history.
Sax on and come on stage. Let's go. Here we go, Bill. Ha.
You need to leave Bill Clinton alone. Cause everybody's done something wrong. You just don't like him cause he wears doggone glasses and plays a saxophone. You need to leave Bill Clinton alone. Cause everybody's done a little something wrong. You just don't like him cause he wears dark glasses and play a saxophone. Listen to this. Woo. He fixed the economy, showed us all how to turn a dime into a dollar. Don't you see? He's doing a damn good job of running this country. Can a star pull up on my president? Cause you don't have nothing to show for all our money you spent. All this investigating ain't nothing but player hating. And I don't know why you just don't leave Bill Clinton alone. Cause everybody's done something wrong. You just don't like them cause he wears dark glasses and play a saxophone. Listen to this. His best friend is a black man named Vernon Jordan. Oh, but I beg your pardon. Cause his executive secretary is a black lady named Betty Curry. And I like that now. Can a star pull up on my president? You don't have nothing to show for all our money you spent. All this investigating ain't nothing but straight up player hating. And I don't know why you don't just be Bill Clinton alone. Everybody's done something wrong. You just don't like him cause he wears dark glasses and play a saxophone. Hey babe, you need to leave Bill Clinton alone. Cause everybody's done a little something wrong. You just don't like him cause he wears dark glasses and play a saxophone. Come here, Bill Clinton, I want you to play your saxophone for me. Woo! Come on, Bill, play it now. That's real good. But Mr. President, come here, play it like you like it, Bill. Don't worry, Bill, I got your back. country to run.
That's enough, Bill. I know you like that song. Oh, my, my, my.
I guess I should talk about Bill Clinton. You know, there's a new generation now. He said that he didn't inhale. There's a new generation of younger politicians now who are saying, I did inhale, but I didn't enjoy it. So, you know, so step by step, it has to be done gradually. You know, it'll probably come in through the side door. They'll legalize pot when it's used for medical purposes, and there'll be an epidemic of glaucoma somehow. I'm going to have to move you to the back. You're interfering with everybody else's timing. Now, do you think you can control yourself? Anyway, Clinton, I had such high hopes for him when he came into office, and yet he just kept compromising one thing after another. You know, he would start out and say, the Constitution does not allow for there to be prayers in the schools, separation of church and state. Then the Republicans start saying, you know, we got to have prayer in the schools, very important. So Clinton gets right in the middle and says, okay, we can have prayer in the school, but they have to pray that we can lick the deficit by taxing the churches. You know, just right in the middle. I mean, they can pray, but they can pray for safe abortions. So, and I think it came from excess masturbation that his spine became like strawberry jello. You know, and you go back and forth on positions. And that's really why he fired George Lynn Elders, because he was personally guilt-ridden. Not as rumor had it, that it was part of his crime bill, the three strokes and you're out. The thing about Joyce Lynn Elders was that, you know, it was so innocent. I mean, the worst thing I've really heard about masturbation, I heard on KPFK, they said that when somebody masturbates, their IQ goes down 40 points. Is that so bad? I mean, it doesn't stay there. I have no idea how they did the research. I'm not sure if it was just reading skills or across the board. So that was Joyce Lynn Elders. You know, all she said was that it should be taught in schools, and it should be. Guys could learn from masturbating how to avoid premature ejaculations. I say guys because women don't have the problem. You know, somebody says, aha, you just had a premature orgasm. A woman can say, no, that was just my first. So, I mean, I would like to have serial orgasms myself. I would be willing to sign a pact. Is there a devil in the house? You know, if I could have serial orgasms, I would be willing to have a menstrual cycle. You know, 4 days medium to heavy flow, reasonably mild bitchiness. Just, I'll sign up, but... you know, so there are some things that make up for the fact that you only get 2/3 of the pay that a man does. Well, see, the thing is that men are fearful about premature ejaculations because with the system of going out on dates now, people have an investment. You know, they pay for dinner, they pay for a movie or a play, and then if they get each other in bed, the man wants a return on that investment, which is not to come right away. I mean, but who's to say? There are no objective standards to measure at what the precise moment is that a premature ejaculation becomes a mature ejaculation. I don't even know what a mature ejaculation is, but I think that Vice President Al Gore has them. He's just so relaxed, you know. I think that he takes his Prozac from a Pez dispenser. So he would have a mature ejaculation. He would say, Tipper, I feel some stirring now. I think I have a few spasms coming on. I just thought I'd let you know. I'd like to share that with you. Maybe wearing a smoking jacket and a pipe there. You don't hear much about Tipper Gore anymore. I think she's in the basement of the White House censoring lyrics. Yeah. But now they're up to gospel songs. Oh, look at this. Go down, Moses. We can't have that. Ouch. Get me that blue pencil.
That is Paul Krasner and Clinton and Gore from the album We Have Ways of Making You Laugh. Before that, Larry Shannon Hargrove with Leave Bill Clinton Alone. We are journeying through half a century of American presidents, and we are going to leave Bill Clinton now and go to George W. Bush. And here we hear from the George W. Bush Singers. Enjoy.
You said we're headed to war in Iraq. A single mother with two children, which is the toughest job in America as far as I'm concerned, and you're working hard to put food on your family.
Those who think that they can say we're only going to have a stimulus package but let's forget tax relief underestimate just making sure you're paying attention. You were.
I know the human being and fish can coexist peacefully. The responses have got to end in order for us to get the groundwork to discuss a framework for peace, to lay the... All right.
Committee. We are not at war with Muslims. We don't have a beef with Muslims. We want to be friends with Muslims. and Muslim children. We're fighting evil people. It's important for the boys and girls of Thurgood Marshall to know that we're fighting evil with good. And one way to fight evil with good is you can help by writing letters to boys and girls your age. And so, in my speech to the nation, whatever you want to call it, speech to the nation. I asked Americans to give 4,000 years, 4,000 hours over the next, the rest of your life, of service to America. That's what I asked. I said, 4,000 hours. There's an old saying in Tennessee. I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, fool me once, shame on you. If fool me, we can't get fooled again. Our enemies are innovative and resourceful. And so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people. And neither do we. Parents are teaching their children right from wrong. And the message oftentimes gets undermined by the popular culture. You bet there's things the government can do. We can work with the entertainment industry to provide family hour. We can have filters on internets where public money is spent. I hear there's rumors on the internets that we're going to have a draft. We're not going to have a draft, period. We got an issue in America. Too many good docs are getting out of business. Too many OBGYNs aren't able to practice their love with women all across this country. The good news is, and it's hard for some to see it now, that out of this chaos is going to come a fantastic Gulf Coast, like it was before. Out of the rubbles of Trent Lott's house, this had lost his entire house, there's going to be a fantastic house. Again, I want to thank you all for, and Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
God bless America.
Thank you, Rowan. That's awesome, too. And finally, the people in Louisiana must know that all across our country, there's a lot of prayer. Prayer for those whose lives have been turned upside down. And I'm one of them. And one of the things I've used on the Google is to pull up maps. These are big achievements for this country. And the people of Bulgaria ought to be proud of the achievements that they have achieved. Another problem is proliferation. There are areas we can work together. And he brought an interesting proposal. He said, I have an idea. Why don't we jointly use a radar in Azerbaijan to help deal with a potential threat? Governor, thank you very much. I am here to make an announcement that this Thursday, ticket counters and airplanes will fly out of Ronald Reagan Airport. But here's a dreamer. Man had an idea. He didn't like the way the cotton shirts that he wore absorbed, his bodily fluids when he exercised, so he came up with a better product. Last night, Jeb and I had some crabs with, members of the 1972 Miami Dolphins, Dan Marino and his really dynamic wife, TV stars, Andy Garcia. It's just a fact. I met an onion grower today at the airport when I arrived, and he said, you got to help me find people that will pull onions, or pluck them, or whatever you do with them, you know. It just seems like I was here yesterday. I was. Kind of. I think tide turning, as I remember, I was raised in the desert, but tides kind of turn. It's easy to see a tide turn. Did I say those words? I couldn't imagine somebody like Osama bin Laden understanding the joy of Hanukkah. People say, how can I help on this war against terror? How can I fight evil? You can do so by mentoring a child, by going into a shut-in's house and say, I love you. This society of ours is going to change one heart, one soul, one conscience at a time, because thousands of our fellow citizens are loving a neighbor just like they'd like to be loved themselves. Most of the jobs in America are created by the small business sector, and our entrepreneurs are doing well. We got the best workforce in America, in the world. It was not always a given that the United States and America would have a close relationship. After all 60 years, we were at war. Now, there may be some tough times here in America, but this country's gone through tough times before, and we're going to do it again. This is an extraordinary year. When you think about it, in the first month of a new year, there will be an election in the Palestinian territory, and there will be an election in Iraq. Who could have possibly envisioned an election in Iraq at this point in history?
Right off the bat, just so I can kind of get a vibe off the crowd, how many people here voted for Barack Obama to be our president? Great. How many people voted for the other guy or the end of all mankind as we know it? here's the thing about Barack Obama that I love. I just love the name Barack Obama. That right there says power. It sounds like he should be fighting De La Hoya this weekend. That is just a badass name right there. Now, I'm here to tell you, this is exciting for history. We have our first black president, okay? That is just an amazing... Okay, all right, white people, relax. I can see you're kind of getting into that mode. Can we say anything we want now? I'm sure you know you've got that white friend, right? He says some ignorant comment. You call him on it. You're like, man, you got to watch it. No, I'm not racist. I've got a black friend. Yeah, this isn't the same thing. The whole, I've got a black president thing isn't going to cut it. I know, too, that all white people, we tend to have like just a smidgen of racism in us. Sometimes we get caught. I even do it myself sometimes. One of my best friends since I was a kid, Kenny, he's black. And sometimes he'll point out when I'm being racist, I didn't even mean to be. One day we were having a debate I was on his side with, okay? I'm still wrong, even though I'm on his side. I'm going with him, and I'm like, yeah, man, I see where you're coming from. And he's like, no, you don't. I go, no, I'm understanding what he goes, you don't understand. I go, I can appreciate. He goes, you can't even appreciate. So I said, I feel like there's a lot of racial tension between black people and white people still. So I said, what about this, just as a wild idea? What if we discovered a brand new planet? And that planet was a vacant planet, and it was like a sister planet to Earth, atmospherically the same, land, water. And what if, just to give ourselves a bit of a time out, we took all the white people on Earth, and we just went to that new planet just to kind of sell. And right there, he interrupts me. He goes, oh, see, you're racist right there. I'm like, why? He goes, white people get the brand new planet, black people get the old Earth. No. I appreciate the fact that Obama is the tech president. I kind of like that. Isn't that kind of cool? It's like you see him, he's on his BlackBerry, and I'm like, is he playing Brick Breaker right now? What is he? He does like YouTube updates, right? Isn't that going to be cool? You log into your MySpace in the middle of the night, you're like, oh, fuck, Obama's on. You can like write to him, Obama, what are you doing? Oh, I just downloaded that video of the kid shooting himself in the nipple with a paintball gun. You got to see that. And I'm working on some legislation, too. Oh, good stuff. Obama, you on Facebook? No, I got poked by a zombie and the Secret Service took me out of there. So. I think it's kind of, it's a little bit unsettling, I'll say that, when you start hearing the chatter, right, there's a little bit of talk that somebody might try to assassinate Obama. Whenever I hear that, I think to myself, this guy, he already has the shittiest job in the world. Next to Alaskan crab fishermen, this is just the worst... We are putting all of our hopes and our dreams, all of us, into this guy. He's like Mr. Fix-It, okay? He's thinking about two wars, recession, depression, higher unemployment. Even the most vile, racist motherfucker is sitting on their porch going, I think we should see what this guy can do. What do you say, Billy Ray? You want to give him a shot? Yeah, exactly. No, not that kind of shot. An opportunity. I think that this guy is so stressed, honestly, with all these problems on his mind. Obama's sitting in the Oval Office right now with his head in his hands trying to figure it all out. He might be the first U.S. president to assassinate himself.
Obama on Afghanistan.
We just need a little luck.
Obama on the oil spill.
BP, clean the muck.
Obama on health care.
We're reaching for the stars.
You ain't heard nothing till you've heard Obama on Mars. Obama on Mars, Obama on Mars. There's some astronauts to astroworlds, it's not very far. He'll live under the planet and then pass out cigars. It's really fun to listen to Obama on Mars. Obama on Mars, Obama on Mars. And the peace of all Martians, give them condos and cars.
Obama on education. School budgets are being slashed.
Obama on unemployment.
The workers are getting bashed.
Obama on the Wall Street bailout.
Those bankers just laugh har har.
Why worry about America when we can take it up to Mars? Obama on Mars, Obama on Mars. There's an astronaut to asteroids, it's not very far. He'll land on the red planet and then pass out cigars. It's really fun to listen to Obama on Mars. Obama on Mars, Obama on Mars. He'll make peace with all the Martians, give them condos and cars. He sounds a bit eccentric and a little bizarre. Why worry about our planet? We can listen to Obama on Mars.
Well, that's going to take us to the end of our half-century look at American presidents. That was the Peaceniks with Obama on Mars. Good luck getting that song out of your head. Dana Cook before that with his piece on Obama from Isolated Incident. The Best Bushisms, a collection of George W. Bush witticisms. And War in Iraq by the George W. Bush singers up on top. Stay tuned for Statesman and WUSB coverage of the election. This is WUSB Stony Brook. Good night.
Very far, the land of the red planet, and then pass out the cars. It's really fun to listen to Obama.